Welcome, listeners, to episode 2 of the Halo Respawn podcast. We have a special guest with us, and with us we have Late Night Gaming. For those of you who are really big in Halo's lore on YouTube, you definitely know that name. It's familiar to you, but if not, you guys will definitely get to be introduced to who Late Night Gaming is, and we have an awesome time where we get to just go over a couple of questions and what's going on with him and his experience at the Halo Outpost Discovery. Hey, Eric, why don't you let us know what our new segment?
Yeah, we're going to jump into the Halo Showtime TV series, and we're going to talk about Ninja moving to Mixer and why that's important for Halo. We're also going to dive into speculation on the new Cortana Auto Easter egg that came out from the E3 trailer.
So, when it comes to the Showtime for Halo, I know a lot of us have been wondering, for those of you who aren't aware, they have casted Cortana and Dr. Halsey for the Showtime Halo show. That's going to be happening and coming out. And it's going to be a pretty great time to finally get some more information there. The show is going to introduce a bunch of new characters as well, supporting Spartans for Master Chief and some characters that will play a role with Oni. And so it's going to be a pretty cool thing to try to see that they have said that their goal is to make this a Game of Thrones budget, but in a sci-fi universe. And so what other better universe to use than Halo? So I'm really excited for this. It's a project that I think is going to be done very, very well, and it's taking its time, and I don't mind that. So those of you who are worried the fact that this project is taking so much time, just know that the more time it takes, the more quality we'll get. If you rush something, the quality tends to not be as good. So Halo fans, don't worry, don't fright, just hold on tight. Hey, Eric, why don't you go ahead and share with us what's going on with Ninja?
Well, Ninja decided to ditch Twitch and move to Mixer, and it surprised a lot of people. It came out of nowhere. There was a big announcement, kind of a goofy video if you look closely, you can see Master Chief kind of hide it in the background. But he decided that he wanted to have kind of a restart, and he felt like what was best for his community and for his goals was to go to Mixer. And as far as how that's important to Halo, as we know, Ninja was big with Halo back in the day, and being able to have this reboot around the same time that Halo Infinite is starting to ramp up, I think it's gonna be really good for him and really good for his community.
That's really awesome. Actually, just a little side note, at my time over in Halo Outpost Discovery in Orlando, actually it was right after the community panel that you were at, Eric, Roby One shared a couple of little tidbits after someone asked a question. They mentioned something about Ninja coming from Halo with an inside joke of Green Skull looking like Ninja. And when that was mentioned, Roby One said that they were having conversations with Ninja. And he, you know, in a sense where it was kind of going was he doesn't forget where he came from, was a quote that was used. So it was kind of interesting that even back then, you know, there was obviously something stirring in the waters when it came to Ninja moving over to a Microsoft platform like Mixer. So I think it's going to be a really great thing.
Oh, yeah. This is definitely big news for the Halo community and big news for the Mixer community, Xbox community. It's going to bring, I mean, it's like what they were giving away free subscriptions for Ninja.
Did you subscribe?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, it was free, so why not? And I definitely want to support him and a platform like Mixer. I've always loved Mixer. When I was streaming for a bit, I was using Mixer. It's a great platform. There's a ton of opportunity there for growth, and just in the world of streaming and people not happy with Twitch because of certain reasons, you know, I think it's good. I think it's good for the Mixer community in general, because it's going to bring more eyes to it, and it's going to bring not just for Ninja, but it's also going to bring more people coming across other streamers on Mixer.
We know that Ninja's playing a lot of Fortnite. That's his like bread and butter right now, especially with, you know, Epic Games and everything. So I'm really looking forward to, you know, when Blackout came out on Black Ops 4, he tried it out and he played it. And I'm really looking forward to when Infinite comes out, what he has to say about Halo. Because I remember even when he was streaming on Twitch before he got his studio that he has now, he talked about Halo. Someone asked him about Halo and he shared the fact that, you know, Halo is not its multiplayer and certain different aspects. Halo is Master Chief and Cortana and what's going on there. So he is a big fan of Halo and the story of Chief and Cortana. So I'm really looking forward to seeing what he has to say about Infinite. And I'm pretty sure if anybody's going to get a call, try out Infinite a little early, and get some opinions on what needs to change to benefit it, Ninja's going to be one of the first guys.
Yeah, I definitely feel like he's going to part of the contract probably was, hey, a little bit of Halo Infinite here and there, please. Let's play that game and get fans excited for it. But I'm sure that was part of the contract. I mean, I have no idea what the contract said, but I feel like Halo was probably mentioned in there at one point.
Oh, for sure. For sure. There's no doubt. Speaking of Ninja, Mixer, Halo Infinite, I know this is something that stirs in the Twitterverse. Not to take too much time on it, but just to kind of tease it and mention a little bit, what do you think when people mention Battle Royale and Halo in the same sentence? What comes to your mind?
I think Battle Royale belongs in Halo. I think it'd be awesome to have it in Halo. I mean, I know a lot of people don't like the idea of it. Like, people think that it's going to take away from other places in Halo. But the dev team is huge. There's a lot of support there. It's something that I feel like they could bring. Yeah. I feel like it's something that could fit within the Halo universe. And I love the idea of VR. Like, and I'm not even the biggest VR fan. I mean, honestly, I don't really play any games that are Battle Royale, but I feel like within the Halo universe, I could really get addicted to it, because, you know, whether it's ODST, you know, troopers dropping in or whatever it is, yeah, I feel like it could fit really well within the Halo universe.
You know, it comes to mind now, and I was going to think about it, but you know, why not? Hey, for those of you listening, if you guys have any ideas about what you'd like to see in a Halo Battle Royale, just go ahead and get on our Discord, message us on Twitter or Instagram, and give us what you think about what you would like to see in a Halo BR. You know, I think it'd be a pretty cool topic, and we can go over that in a couple episodes from this one. I think that'd be pretty cool. What do you think, Eric?
Oh, absolutely.
We'll definitely go ahead and dedicate a whole episode to that. I'll give my quick brief thoughts on it. You know, you say ODST, if you go ahead and you play Halo 3 ODST, and you just think the introduction when you fall on New Mombasa at night, and you have your health low, and you only have one pistol, and you're trying to figure out where you're going, you know, it'd be kind of interesting if you actually had a moment like that where you drop, right? If you drop down and you land, and then from there, you know, you have to figure out where you have your weapons. You could implement different aspects of Halo multiplayer, you know, in order to, you know, get the drop, you'd have to play King of the Hill and like download the data in order for the drop to hit down. And you know, anybody in the hill, the last person standing, gets that drop or survives that. And I don't know, it'd just be so many different ideas that we definitely got to dive into.
We have a special guest with us, and we're thrilled to have him here and chat about everything Halo. Let me go ahead and introduce you guys to Late Night Gaming. Hey, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself just a little bit about yourself, what you do, and then we'll get right into it.
Your enthusiasm is greatly appreciated.
You're welcome.
I'm still a bit jet lagged from coming back from Chicago. I know it's only probably like an hour. The flight was less than an hour, but it's still like, okay, you know what? My sleep schedule is already kind of all over the place to throw on an hour difference.
Jet lag is more of a lack of sleep.
I think I tried to just blame it on the jet lag, but I think what I'm starting to realize it is my own lack of sleep that's to blame. Yeah, but, you know, I'm me. I'm Late Night Gaming, as people have grown to call me, even though my name is not that, actually. Yeah, but just got back from Chicago, Outpost Discovery. I have a lot of stories, fun stories to tell about that. But yeah, you guys probably know me in the Halo community already.
So we want to go ahead and get a little bit into the Halo Outpost Discovery that just took place in Chicago. Late Night was able to go over there and have some fun and enjoy that opportunity. He also was able to go to the Halo Outpost Discovery event in Orlando, including my co-host South, who was able to be there. So we're going to go ahead and chat a little bit about the contrast between the Halo Outpost Discovery event that took place in Orlando versus the one that took place in Chicago. Really quick, South, why don't you go ahead and just briefly remind us how Orlando went?
Well, I thought Orlando went great. I felt like we may have been guinea pigs, but other than that, I feel like it was fun. You know, got to hang out with the Halo community and
Halo guinea pigs.
Somebody has to make a graphic out there of that.
Well, like instead of a hamster wheel, it's a giant Halo ring.
Yeah, there you go. Someone get on that. Marketing needs to get on that right away.
That's awesome.
But I thought it was great. I was only able to be there for one day. I know it changed the next day from my understanding and what I was told.
I was only there for one day as well. You were behind me, weren't you? At one point, was that you? Who was like, hey, it's you.
Yeah.
It was you. Okay.
So I thought what I really liked too was the panel I got to check out before the end of the day.
Oh my god, then, not to cut you off. Okay, so you know how like the panel was kind of like a gigantic empty room with about 12 people scattered around.
No, that was such the downer.
Don't worry, they've solved that problem of making the panels look less comedically devoid of life.
I didn't get to, you know, do many of the, I did the escape room and the Halo Ring experience, and that was about it, because otherwise I was spending time talking with people. I was hanging out with Ian most of the time. Yeah, I mean, that was so, I've been seeing people post about Chicago, and it seems like it's gotten better. And I guess late night, since you have gone to both, you know, you could kind of give us the contrast between both of them.
So, I mean, you were there for Orlando, so you kind of know a bit about what was going on. It was kind of like a gigantic warehouse with various Halo things scattered around and pockets of people in this overly large space, which kind of made it look a bit empty. Thankfully, with Orlando, they definitely have changed things up. I heard that Philadelphia, there were also a lot of radical changes that were done. It was further changed in Orlando. Also, thankfully, I got to hang out a lot with John.
You mean it was further changed in Chicago, correct?
Right. Yeah. Chicago, the best. They set up like these kind of blinder things to kind of like funnel people and create a bit of a flow so that people were going from thing to thing without like just this large room with Halo things variously scattered around.
Yeah.
And even the for the panels and stuff, the community panels, they did something rather clever. So it was less like Orlando, where the community panels were hidden in a random room that nobody knew how to find. And it was more of like they were in kind of the center. So people that were just like walking by and passing, they could like see, oh, there's like a crowd gathering. What's going on over there? And they just kind of attend. It was really cool, actually.
That's cool. Yeah. From pictures online, it seemed like there was better turnout for the different panels.
Yeah,
the panels were incredible. There was this one point actually where the mod community did a panel, and they had a video of various community made mods, and it was kind of like a montage going through all the years of Halo Combat Evolved modding.
Oh, wow.
And it got to the point where there was a joke mod, which was pirates, Halo pirates. So it was Master Chief with a peg leg and a parrot on a pirate ship. And they're doing, you know, the yo ho, you know, that song. And when that began playing and just the absurdity that was happening on screen, the crowd began getting bigger because they're like, what is going on? That doesn't sound like Halo music. Yeah, it was pretty cool. There was like applauding. Crowd was getting pretty big for that panel. It was cool. Fans were engaging with it.
That's how awesome. How was the lines for the different attractions? I guess that's what you call them.
Okay. We can talk about that because that definitely has been a problem. The wait times for a lot of people. Thankfully, in Orlando, it was kind of universally across the board. Everything was unusually long wait times.
Yeah.
That was definitely not worth anybody's time. They seem to have kind of brought it down to more of a reasonable level where the wait times were long only for the popular attractions, which is normal for most of these events. But John Friend, one of the planners there from 343, he's still not happy with it, and he wants to further optimize some of the wait times. But everything outside of like the VR Slayer or the Halo laser tag, he was pretty happy with them. They were less than an hour long, most of the wait times.
Oh, wow. That's great.
And the ones that were over an hour long, he wanted to further optimize, and he has plans going into the future to get them going even faster.
Well, that's cool.
That's great to hear.
One thing I thought that they could do, I know it's probably a little late to do it now, but like double it. So like you have two groups playing, you know, like the VR at once, and then that would kind of cut down the time. But
I guess it's all about the budget, though, because like those things cost money.
that's why I said it's a little too late now.
Yeah,
they have all sorts of plans. We went out for dinner afterwards after Saturday, you know, and we brainstormed back and forth. I pitched the idea to him of a community playthrough, maybe at the start on Friday when the doors open. That's have smart. Some kind of booth or a few booths set up for the Master Chief Collection on the first level of Combat Evolved and see if the community can pass off the controllers, and by the end of Outpost they can beat the entire Master Chief Collection.
That's genius.
Yeah,
that's
that'd be awesome.
And then people just pick up wherever the other person
obviously 343 could figure out the rules of what dictates a passing of the controller, but
yeah you put everybody on a particular timer, but yeah, that'd be awesome. I have a quick question for you. So you talked a bit about how the times kind of went down from an hour to less than an hour, and there was a lot of progression, there was a lot of changes. What about the community mixer booth? How did that go?
The mixer booth was actually really cool because similar to what I was talking about with the community panels, where they kind of got them out of the corner they were hiding in and put them front and center. The mixer stage was also kind of in the very center. It's actually the first thing you see when you enter the room, like the big mixer stage. And also, thankfully, they strategically put it next to the VR Slayer lines.
Nice.
So people, they were waiting in line, they could actually watch what was going on stage. They had a lot of high-profile people there, like Marcus Lado, creator of the Master Chief. They also had Sparth, the art director at 343.
Nice.
And so there were all sorts of like weird, interesting behind the scenes panels that were going on while people could wait. It sucks that they were still having to wait, but at least they had some entertainment.
They had some entertainment in the
to help cut the time down a little bit, because it's like kind of like a Disneyland where, you know, they have all those screens while you're in line, so you can pay attention to something else and not be distracted by, hey, I'm waiting in line.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned that, because I had gotten the chance to talk to John Friend a little bit, and that was one of the things that I mentioned to him, is maybe for next year's event or future events, you could be able to put some monitors in different locations, reeling through community posts and different things that people are doing in their social media, so it kind of takes the incentive away from people thinking that they're waiting there so long, and kind of shorten that time and give that illusion that they're kind of just being entertained, like you said, Eric, and watching something else while they're waiting in the lines.
Yeah, there's unfortunately, I actually talked to him about that as well. And, you know, he kind of vaguely went into some of the like housing rules and stuff when you rent out a public space where there's only so much bandwidth you're given. And there's all sorts of safety, you know, it's this whole thing where it was like the second he began talking about it, I was like, all right, got it. It's a little bit more complicated.
Yeah,
it's above my pay grade. It's above everything else. I get it. It's too much.
Less of above my pay grade, more above my intention span. But he, it was like, okay, got it. It's a little bit more complicated than that.
Yeah.
But he seemed pretty excited about the prospect of like seeing things out in the field, because everything had changed from Orlando. In fact, it has me kind of revisiting my Orlando experience and reevaluating it, how much things have improved. And after kind of all the Outpost things happen, they're going to get together and they're going to have a big talk about what worked, what didn't work, and how they can like optimize everybody's time for the F4, you know, Outpost continues, which seem optimistic that it's going to continue. People seem to enjoy Orlando.
Yeah, I really hope they come back to Orlando. It's a little bit closer to me. I'm over here in Miami, so it'd be really great to be able to have an opportunity to go see Orlando over there. The Orlando Orange County Center there is a great convention center to check out. So I'm looking forward to them going back over there in the future. Was there anything that you might have seen? You mentioned that the art director was there. Was there anything like Halo Infinite related you were able to see while you were there?
So there was actually some Halo Infinite stuff, surprisingly. Unfortunately, probably nothing we're going to see in the game. But it like pre-production type stuff where it was the E3 2018 trailer. It was a bit of concept art for it, where they talked a bit kind of, they walked through the eras of Halo's art styles, you know, here comes like a flood of conversation. But,
oh, man.
Oh, yeah.
They basically talked about kind of like the inspiration for the Covenant aesthetic, which was very insect-like. In fact, actually, Marcus Lado had a bit of a horror story about what kind of inspired the look for the Covenant, which was, he was at a beach when he was a kid, and this horseshoe crab came out of the water and just being terrified because he had never seen anything like it. And it kind of haunted his dreams. And that's kind of what, that insecty crab shell like look is what kind of inspired them. And then obviously it bounced off to Sparth, who's the art director at 343. And they talked a bit about some of their artistic direction for the Covenant in Halo 4 and 5 and kind of expanding on that insectoid appearance for the Covenant.
Nice. But
they also, in what was kind of interesting, was they bounced off to the UNSC and they talked about, they described it as wins and not losses, that wasn't the word because that's too defeatist, but
pros and cons,
maybe. They called it wins, like Saint Helios on Halo 5 they described as a win for the most part. Obviously there's a few things here and there, but for the most part they saw Saint Helios as a win. The community liked it was pretty. But the UNSC stuff was not a win for them in Halo 4 and 5. It was very different and very alien looking. Same with the Forerunner architecture. And then they brought up some concept art of the Master Chief we've never seen before. I made sure to take images of it. It's floating around on Twitter now, but basically it's kind of like the design philosophies behind Chief's new armor. And it was a pre-production image, and it was kind of talking about like, we want to incorporate Halo 5 proportions, make him proportioned more like a normal human being who's very athletically built, but we want the armor to be more designed around kind of like the Halo 3 silhouette mixed with some of the Halo Legends design philosophies. So basically the concept art, I guess, maybe was from what we saw last year, the 2018 Master Chief. It was the concept art for that.
Nice.
Yeah, it was really interesting looking. I had never seen that before. Obviously, it was very early looking. Chief kind of looked kind of like a dude in like some armor and a motorcycle helmet, and less like the Master Chief, which we got this year. But it was so cool, that early insight.
Yeah, I love seeing stuff like that, especially like that's one thing I love with movies and things like that that I really enjoy. I love going back and looking at the concept art and seeing like what made it and what didn't make it. Basically those coffee table books you can get where it's just like all the different concept art, you know, whether it's like Star Wars or some like you know, Star Trek or whatever. You know, it's really cool to see that stage of like where something started and where it went, because there's so many hands, and like especially with a, you know, universe like Halo, it's like there's choices they have to make that's like, does this fit the Halo universe? It's not a, you know, is it, hey, let's, you know, and as some people may say, like, you know, we were just saying, like, the like with UNSC and the direction they were going, it, like, me personally, I like the old style better, and I love the fact that they're going back to that kind of older UNSC style opposed to, you know, the Halo 4 and 5 style that they went with. And
well, it's interesting because Sparth had something to say about that after his panel. I got a chance to talk with him briefly, and I mean, Sparth follows me on Twitter, and whenever we meet each other in person, we kind of like rapidly catch up, and there's a bit of a stream of consciousness that lasts about 20 minutes. So I get excited every year that I go to PAX and I do see him in person. But Sparth has a really interesting outlook on Halo's art style. He described it kind of like Kenneth Scott, I believe was his name. He's the guy who kind of invented the Reclaimer Saga aesthetic for the Halo universe. And he described Kenneth Scott's vision as kind of like a desire to separate 343 from Bungie, because they did feel that they needed to separate themselves.
Interesting.
There was not a pride. It's not a pride. It's in fact more of like the community
respect.
Won't accept us if we don't be something different than what came before. And with Sparth, his kind of philosophy, his personal one, obviously he's not speaking for the studio. It's more of how he personally views it.
Yeah.
He described it kind of like he sees people say that 343 is being forced to follow Bungie's footsteps with the artistic direction of the universe. And he doesn't view it as that. Mm-hmm. He views it as Bungie was one studio that made Halo. You had, whatchamacallit, who did Halo Wars. And then, of course, you have the various different comic book authors. There were Marvel Halo comics that were made. And those authors, you know, they
those
were not Bungie. Yeah. So Bungie was not the only people to support the Halo universe. Various different authors, creators, and artists propped up the Halo universe. So with 343, something he's kind of personally realized is that 343 doesn't need to make Halo different from everybody else, because there were already a ton of different people who contributed their own works to Halo. Halo has an identity of its own that various authors have propped up. So we're going into Halo Infinite now, instead of trying to make Halo's universe look very different from what came before, they want to just, you know, bring their own identity to a very familiar look.
I love
that. Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, I've, you know, that when people say that, the whole, you know, they're just trying to milk off what Bungie did. It's like, yeah, it's like,
no, I often is excited for people to see their take on the kind of Bungie started aesthetic for Halo's universe.
And to me, it's like, I like the art style everything's going into. Like, I think it looks great, and I love, like, the, I don't even know how to describe it, but like,
yeah, when Chief's armor comes back online in Halo Infinite, and it's kind of like that continue question mark. It's like, holy moly, that's like an old computer. What the hell?
Yeah.
And it's really cool, because it's like, you know, like there's like this soft color is, I don't know, like the soft colors that they have in there, but they pop. Like, it's not like, you know, because with Halo 5, things were very colorful. And then in this, like, it feels a little bit more dull, but not necessarily in a bad way.
The way Spark described it to me, this was actually last year during PAX. He said that basically with Kenneth Scott, Halo 4 and 5, it was science fiction, and that's what dictated the design philosophy for the UNSC. But what Bungie demonstrated was that, for whatever reason, even if it makes sense or not, the technology tree of Halo's universe is that humanity, by the year 2500, they are 80s military in outer space. That's just their technology. You know, it doesn't matter if it makes sense or not, if it's realistic or not for a 500 year in the future humanity. Yeah. That's just how their technology evolved. They look like the military from the 1980s, but if set in outer space.
Yeah. And also, like, a lot of their influence from, like, you know, the Alien franchise. And, you know,
because
you watch those movies and you see the computers they're using in there. It's just like,
they have VHS scratches on their computer monitors, like hundreds of years in the future. It's like, that doesn't make any sense. But in Aliens, it makes sense. That's just how that technology evolved.
I feel like that's a really good way to take it in, because it kind of makes it a little bit more realistic to you. Because if you can relate to something that you're used to.
Halo's universe is in our universe. That's just how the technology evolved in that universe.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And I love that kind of direction.
They still have bullets and pump action shotguns 500 years in the future.
And even the sounds, if you sit back and you listen to, you know, maybe Predator, or you listen to Alien, for example, even the sound effects, they kind of bring you into that kind of realm. And I love the way, that's at least what brought me into Halo, was the look and the feel. I was like, man, you know, I've seen something like this before, but I haven't seen it executed the way I feel like is perfect. And Halo was that for me. And so it's really exciting to see that 343 is going to be able to take it and move it back into that direction, especially with the art style. I think, and they were like, whoa, look at the art direction here. I'm really excited for this. It's kind of cool how we're kind of going around that same kind of trail.
I was going to say, it's actually funny because Jeremy Cook, the lead art director of Halo Wars 2, he said that after, like, the community's response to that initial Halo Wars 2 trailer came out, and, you know, the subsequent reaction to Halo Wars 2 kind of being a bit more inspired by the classic Halo games, 343 was kind of like, hey, give us all your notes you have. I'm like, we want to see everything. We want to see everything. Yeah, and Sparth seems incredibly excited, since this is kind of his vision for the Halo universe. Because before, he was working off Kenneth Scott, which was the Reclaimer saga. And this is his first ever Halo universe. He's constructed himself, his own design documents, designing the visual language, and he's incredibly energized by how the community's responding to all of his stuff in Infinite.
I mean, I will say, like, you know, it's, yes, I've always been excited when another Halo game comes out, but there's something about the Infinite trailer. It's obviously, it's the music, it's the art style, but it you know, it's just, it
was the fact that the pilot looks and sounds like the guy from Rogue One.
it brings me to the music, the sounds, the visuals, like it just brings me back, and it's like feels nostalgic to me but new. Like that's how I would describe it, is that it's nostalgic but it's new in a sense that like I want more, I want to see more. You know, I want to see more about the pilot. You know, I want to know more about, you know, what happened to Chief. Like I'm going back to those days where I'm sitting there reading in magazines rumors about Halo 2 and 3 and like, you know, getting excited about the story. And like, that's what I've always loved about Halo, and that trailer itself, like, you know, I've probably watched it about 80 times or so. Like I watch it often just to try to pick out things. And it blows my mind. Everyone who, you know, like that AR code
did they find that?
I couldn't, yeah. I would have never seen that. Watching when that, like I noticed, more. I saw all that stuff. I was trying to read into it. I think it was my 20th view, and I'm like, man, there's this. Never would have thought of a QR code.
I called it an AR code.
You saw it an AR code. we'll forgive you for that one. But when it comes to the Infinite trailer, Discover Hope, whenever I introduce it, there's a lot of people I like to introduce that trailer to. There's people like my brother, people I used to play Halo with, you know, back in the days with Halo 3 and Halo 2. And now when I show them the Discover Hope trailer, they are immediately intrigued and want to know more. Immediately, they hear the sound, they see the art direction, and they go, wait, is this Halo 4? There's so many people who've asked me if Halo Infinite is Halo 4 or if it's a reboot continuing on.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you one thing is like the guy who got me in Halo back in the day, he dropped off of Halo after 3. Mm-hmm. You know, he couldn't get into 4. We played 5 together for a little bit. He didn't like the direction that those games were going in. And he saw that, you know, he saw that trailer, and we were talking to each other afterwards. And, you know, to him, it's like 343, please get this right. You know, get this right, please. Because I want it to be right for him and myself, because, you know, I don't know how to explain it, but I want that nostalgia back that I had with Halo and just screaming at my friends. And I still, you know, I still enjoy Halo, but there's something different about the art style and the direction that it's going in that I want more of.
Well, I think Halo Infinite is also cheating, because while it's also going back to the old art style, we're also in that weird era where, like, hey guys, remember the 90s? Hey guys, remember the 80s? So like Halo Infinite's cheating a bit. It's replicating that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like 343 are really kind of banging the drum of soft reboot, where it's kind of like, obviously people felt alienated by Halo 5, not just old fans, but also potential new fans who are just like, I don't know what this is. I'm not particularly interested. And now it's like, we're also, somebody pointed out something really interesting, which was we're at that weird age where an entirely new generation of Halo fans, potential Halo fans, I should say, like kids, are now starting to get into gaming. And 343 may have deliberately been kind of like withholding this soft reboot.
Just for the right time.
Just for the right time. So the idea is, and I actually saw this really interesting. Are you guys familiar with the lore of Halo?
Yes.
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 not to get too crazy and too like, oh my God, here, I'm going to info a ton of stuff on you guys. There was this one internet blogger, Haruspice was his name. He does these really interesting reflections on various Halo media. And he said that Halo 5 was bad and dumb in the immediate moment, like its story. That was not a very good story or a very interesting direction to take Halo's universe. But within the lens of a soft reboot, this is kind of interesting in that if we're going to kind of start anew, the idea of kind of, so the way that the Forerunners fell, you know, the ancient aliens that created the Halo rings, their civilization cannibalized themselves in the attempt to kind of become dominant over all species in the galaxy. One of their own AIs kind of rose up and revolted against them and stuff. And then their civilization fell. The rings were fired. Nothing remained. And the galaxy had to crawl its way back with us. So it's interesting that history has repeated itself with humanity. So if Halo Infinite is a new story and stuff, almost as post-apocalyptic-y, you know, thing where it's after a huge human AI revolution, that would be an interesting way to restart the story of, like, now the galaxy needs to move in a more healthy direction.
Interesting.
So that these cycles of violence and AI revolting against their creators don't repeat themselves over and over again.
Yeah, that's an interesting take on it.
I never heard of that before. That's pretty cool to hear it now.
Yeah, Haruspis is a really cool guy. Steve Downes, voice of Master Chief, has personally vouched for his articles, his reflections on Halo 4's version of the Chief.
Oh, wow.
That's awesome.
That's seriously awesome. It even more so makes me want to sit down, speculate some more for Infinite, and really dive into where we think D4D is going to take us.
Yeah, because like there's kind of like that audio file that leaked. I don't know if I'm jumping ahead a little bit,
but we will get into some detail about the audio file.
Okay. Yeah, that audio file implies some things about how we're going to take on Cortana in Halo Infinite.
Exactly. So for those of you listening, just get ready. We're going to get really into that in just a bit. Really quick, I wanted to get back on track with the Halo Outpost Chicago. One last question.
Oh, my God, Outpost. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. One last question before we continue to move on. What was one of the best moments for you personally? Something... maybe it could be something intimate. It could be something where a fan reached out to you, or maybe it was just something that you saw, an interaction. What was one of the highlights for you personally at Halo Outpost Discovery Chicago?
So one of the people that were at Outpost Discovery Chicago, it was, are you guys familiar with Make-A-Wish?
Of course.
Yes.
So one of the guests there from Make-A-Wish, his wish basically was that he wanted to attend Outpost Chicago and he wanted to meet his favorite content creators from YouTube, which happened to be a lot of us who were there. It was me, Hidden Xperia, as well as Halo Cannon. We all happened to be there that weekend, and then through us we were able to kind of make the rounds, see who else was there that he happened to follow, and we were able to basically get him to meet as many people from the Halo community as possible that he was huge fans of.
Wow. That's awesome.
And so my personal favorite memory from Outpost Chicago was going out to dinner with him. His name's Ethan. After the event was over and we got dinner with him and we hung out with him well into the evening. It was about 10:30 before he finally wore out and he wanted to go back to his room. But yeah, geeking out about Halo with him and stuff, and him basically saying that we were his best friends.
That's wow. Awesome.
That's beautiful. I saw John friend mention that a little bit. I saw that all over Twitter. He became kind of like the celebrity, which was pretty cool to see someone in the community get the spotlight.
Okay, maybe I'm misremembering. I know that there was a very, very small child that was on stage who was doing pretty well Sunday on the Mixer stage that Bravo was broadcasting. I tried to make sure to follow all of the community play dates. That might have been what it was.
Well, there was a friend. So this person, his name was Most
You know
Def.
More than me, allegedly.
We'll see.
And he was there.
Okay, what happened?
So there was an individual who's deaf, right? And he only speaks in sign. And he was at one of the community events, the community booth, sorry, and he wanted to go and kind of interact with Bravo. And so what 343 was able to do was get an interpreter there to hang out with him and his friends so that they could interpret for him to his friends and everyone else he had interaction with. So he was able to go hang out with his buddies. And then when he wanted to go see Andy Bravo, and so when he went over to him, he just went and said hi, right? And he wanted his interpreter to go say hi for him. But what Andy did was actually ask the interpreter how to communicate back to him in sign.
Oh my God.
Was able to go back and forth. And so I just thought that was really cool how 343 decided to really, really, really dive into connecting with the community, especially those where, you know, you have Ethan. He was a special guest over there with Make-A-Wish, and you had Most Def, who was over there, and 343 offered some sort of aid for him for his time there. And hearing these stories really makes me honored and really just happy to be a part of the Halo community. And that's why we're all here together in the first place.
Yeah, so I'm so glad you shared just all his time stories. There. Yeah, no, Bravo, that guy was working his ass off for Apple.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was visibly exhausted by Sunday because he had been working so hard, and he was still going because, like, little things would happen that would energize him. Like, I was telling you, there was, like, a really young kid on the stage who was doing pretty well in Halo 2, and seeing that young kid, like, you know, raising his hands as, like, the audience was cheering, it kind of gave Bravo the second wind and allowed him to start really getting into his announcer mode while he was on stage. age. And so that little kid's carrying memories with him home.
Yeah, that kid will That's never awesome. Forget that moment.
Yeah, Bravo those was those like things that go on doing forever. Really well on the mixer stage.
Yeah, and I know those kind of things like that, you know, when things like that happened to me when I was younger, it's like those things stick with you forever. Yeah. And, you know, seeing, you know, and especially for, you know, a younger kid, like seeing, you know, it's like, a YouTuber that you like that's like a rock star to you. You know what I mean? Like it's crazy. Like for us, you know, when we were younger, the celebrities that we were into were totally different. now it's, you know, anyone can, you know, in a sense be a celebrity. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and it's awesome that, you know, as within the community, you know, we can allow, you know, those kind of things can happen where a kid can just, they're welcomed, and that's what I love about the Halo community. But I will say, I wanted to jump into like a Q&A with you late night. So I just kind of get to know you a little bit. So you know, others in the community who may not know you, I don't know why they wouldn't.
And even if they don't know you, I'm pretty sure everyone else does. But if they do know you, but it'd be kind of cool to get to know more about you personally. There's some things that aren't on your YouTube or some things that aren't on social media that we can ask you and you can share with the community.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess we'll just jump into it. How did you get involved with Halo? What was your introduction to Halo?
Oh, my God. Okay. Introduction to Halo. It's hard because it's like, okay, so I'm actually understanding kind of what Halo is. You know, we've all kind of like have those memories of playing Combat Evolved split screen at a friend's house or Halo 2 split screen and kind of merging them all together and kind of being like, I don't know, I played Halo at a friend's house. first ever properly being like, yes, this is a Halo game that I just played and I know that I played it and I can tell you which one. It was Halo 2 playing. It was the Battle Creek. I think it was. Maybe. Yeah, see, yeah. I don't even know because it was so long ago now. It might have been Battle Creek.
It was in Halo CE and Halo 2.
Right, right. It's kind of like Combat Evolved. My memory fluctuates where it's like it had to be one of those two. It had to be. One of my earliest memories of Combat Evolved was actually the opening cutscene of the Silent Cartographer on my sister's computer. I remember coming into her room because I liked to draw as a kid, and I would come into my sister's room after homework and annoy her and bug her and draw behind her as she played her computer games. And I remember coming in and seeing the pelicans over the water and the da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da and like the music was starting to kind of get into my brain a bit, and then also seeing the silhouette of the ring stretching into the sky, the skybox, and being like, what are you playing, Chess? This is weird. And then hearing like this weird woman talking and being like, what is going on? Your hands look so manly, but there's this weird woman speaking, and she's like, oh, that's a computer in your brain. And it was like, wait, no, back up. What? Yeah.
That's awesome. That's, it's interesting to hear everyone's first, you know, introduction to Halo, because it's like,
yeah, Cortana, everyone's... she's a computer in your brain who talks to you. That's like one of my weirdest memories of Halo, and I still can't kind of shake it.
That's awesome. That's
she's
awesome.
A lady in your brain. Only you can hear her because she's in your brain.
So would you say the first Halo you played personally that you remember very, very fondly was Halo 2?
Halo 2, I remember actually playing split screen with a friend at his computer. The one that impacted me the most was Combat Evolved, but the one I actually remember experiencing personally was Halo 2 split screen.
Awesome. So to get into the second question we have here for you, how did you come up with your gamer tag, your internet name? How did you up with Late Night Gaming?
So that's not actually my original gamer
tag. Oh, interesting.
So my original gamer tag, I actually changed because it was embarrassing in hindsight.
Dude, so I have one of those too.
We've all been there. We've all been there. Yeah. We've all been there.
I didn't get Xbox Live till like 2010. And what I had, whatever it was I had prior was that. But for my Xbox Live, I remember in middle school, I had this piece of homework and my teacher was kind of cheeky. She'd make like, you know, fun names for our homework assignments. And one of them was Holla for Some Dollars, which
yes.
No, you guys now understand why it's so funny. At the time, I was thinking that it was weird sounding and like all the kids thought it was funny. I don't even think the teacher realized why it was funny. I hope it's just her being gullible. But I thought it was so bizarre that in middle school, I made that my very first Xbox Live gamer tag, holla for some dollars. And it wasn't until I was late night comms or gaming or something like that. I don't know. My channel has so many names throughout the years. I'm late night gaming now, but I remember I needed to do something on Xbox, you know, with support and stuff. And I was like, okay, my gamer tag's holla for some dollars. And the person, the Microsoft, you know, help was like, really, really, that's your name. And that's when it clicked. That's when it clicked. I was a teenager. All this time, I never realized what it sounded like. And I was like, no. Let me explain. She's like, yeah, sure. I'll help you out. Like, after that, man. Best $10 I ever spent changing my Xbox Live name to Late Night Halo.
I was going to say my first one was Kamikaze Gnome.
Oh no.
Yeah. And my buddy, the buddy who got me into Halo, his was Explosive Gnome. And then there was like another one of us that had something Gnome. And it was just, I got older and I was like, that was so stupid.
Yeah. That's when you like realize. Yeah. And it's like,
you're learning
passively. It's there. And you don't realize what it means until someone else points it out.
Reveals it to you. My first one was pretty embarrassing. So I wanted to do something for a while. When I first got Xbox Live, I did a lot of Halo 2 split screen LAN parties. And so I would switch it up every once in a while. I had actually gotten in trouble with some fireworks. And so a lot of people used to call me Scorcher, right? For getting in trouble with fireworks. Okay. And so for a while it was Scorcher, and it was just like, you know what, this sounds weird, I want to switch it up. So I finally go ahead, I have my 360, I'm about to sign up for Xbox Live Gold. I'm about to like, okay, I am going to get my identity out there, I'm going to figure it out, it's going to be good, it's going to be one I use forever, here we go. My friend says, well, let me try something out. I say, wait, I want to write my gamer tag. He's, don't worry about it, you can change it later. And I'm like, yeah, but if you do, I have to pay money for it. He's like, no, it'll be fine, don't worry. So my friend went ahead and completely forgot that you actually have to spend $10 in order to change your gamer tag. So what did he put? He put Mantis, but he put some X's at the end. And so when you look at from afar, you would
unironically had X's in the name.
Yes, so it looks for far like Mantis. Is what people would read. Every lobby I got into Halo 3 for the first year, 2007, everyone went, Mantis?
So especially when you're like a teenager or an early 20 something.
Yes, exactly. It was not a good name to have. And so I remember when I got some money, I said, okay, first thing I'm doing, changing my gamer tag. And from there,
you say got some money. What you mean is with the time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, pretty
much. When I finally scrounged up $10.
Exactly. You know the struggle back in the day, how it was. You had to wash some cars, you had to do a couple of things, take care of business. And so when I hustled
to 7-Eleven or whatever.
Exactly. And so, and that's true, because it was tough to like be able to get credit card information, right, from your parents and stuff. So you had to go ahead and buy the code, put in the code, redeem it, and all that stuff. So I ended up switching it to Hungry Bear, and it's been Hungry Bear since. I've never gotten it switched up from then. And it's been pretty great. It fits. It's a good one to have.
Well, I guess we'll jump into the next question here, because we could probably go on about bad gamer tags. But what is one of your favorite things about the Halo community? Like, what keeps you coming back for more?
Favorite thing about the Halo community, I guess it's that like Halo's in that kind of weird pocket where it's a military shooter, but it's also, it has that Trojan horse of being really pretty. So it's kind of like you've got your Call of Duty fans. The new Modern Warfare looks great, by the way. But yeah, you've got your Call of Duty fans, which are like, our idea of a fun shooty time is no color other than gray, black, and brown. Where with the Halo community, they like their guns, they like their blood and guts, but they also get incredibly excited about the prospect of like super lush environments and greens and blues. And so I think that's probably one of my favorite aspects of the Halo community. They can appreciate the military stuff, but they also know when an environment is beautiful and why that makes Halo way better than Call of Duty.
That's cool. Yeah. I agree. You did mention the new Modern Warfare. It does look really good. But then you also mentioned those color schemes, and it's the same exact color schemes as you mentioned.
Yeah, that's the only problem I have with the new Modern Warfare. I'm like, oh, damn it. We're back to like brown, gray, brown, green.
Okay, so let's get to the next question. So when did you start YouTube and what motivated you to start putting out content?
Oh my gosh, I couldn't give you a time scale of when I started YouTube because it was kind of like me just uploading things until one of my things that I uploaded caught on, which happened to be Halo focused. And it was like, okay, I guess I'll keep doing this because people seem to like the Halo stuff. And then I kept doing that and it just kind of accidentally snowballed.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's still to this day, like people wonder, where's your Discord chat? Where's your Reddit? Where's like this, that? Why don't you have an upload schedule? It's like, I'm still just a guy. I just like my channel just got big. I don't know how or why this happened. I didn't plan any of this.
And that's good. Come on, man.
You gotta be like Ninja, man.
Yeah, it's like, oh my god.
You should be telling Dan that. All right. You gotta be telling Dan that. That's what he likes to hear.
Yeah. It's just I'm just doing this. I happen to be doing it for a while, and people seem to like what I have to say, so I keep doing it.
And you're not doing it for attention, you're not doing it for follows, you're doing it because it's a passion of yours and you love Halo.
Yeah, it's definitely not for a living.
Explore. Yeah.
All right, now I have a question that might offend some people.
Okay.
The response may offend some people because you know how opinionated people can be in the Halo community. That's not a bad thing necessarily, but so what's your favorite Halo and why? And what's your least favorite Halo and why?
It probably depends on the mood. I'd say subjectively. So in my personal opinion, not based on any factual evidence or math, my favorite Halo is Halo 3, but objectively, I'd probably say my favorite Halo is Combat Evolved, because I think that Combat Evolved is the tightest combat loop, the best pacing in the series, and the best gameplay. It has the simplest sandbox, but in that way, it also has the best one, because there's no room for fat. On the flip side, my least favorite Halo is a cross. It flip-flops depending on the day between Halo 5 and Halo 2. Halo 2...
Ooh, that hurts.
Halo 2, the reason that I can't say it's a bad Halo game. What I say is it's my least favorite is Halo 2 has a very interesting and compelling story. I could write about its story for days, all the interesting things that it's doing, but it's sandbox in the campaign. Multiplayer is a very different story. In the campaign, I think its sandbox is a bit of a disaster, and I think it's significantly less fun than what came before with Combat Evolved. Halo 5, I just think is bad all around. I think it has a very uninteresting sandbox and uninteresting story. I think the gameplay is bad. I think it hurts the level design more than it helps the Spartan abilities. And I don't think the music is very good as a Halo game.
That makes sense. And it's good to see that, you know, from Halo 2, then you get to Halo 3. I feel like,
yeah, and
Halo
this is all my personal opinion, by the way.
Of course.
I'm not saying these things are bad, by the way, because I think that's a problem in the Halo community. They don't know how to say it's just how I feel. It didn't resonate with me. Halo 5 and Halo 2 do not resonate with me the way other Halo games resonate.
Getting into that topic, and hopefully briefly, is that whole discussion and debate within the Halo community. If you were to speak to the Halo community when it comes to that, what would you say? When it comes to the debate and people standing up on their view and their view against everyone else's and this whole conflict of, for example, quotes like Halo 4 is not Halo, what would be just your words of advice and encouragement to the Halo community when it comes to having discussions like that and being able to word your opinion and keep it as an opinion and not a fact?
Oh, it's super easy. So before you get into an argument, understand what you value in Halo. And also take comfort in that sometimes you don't value certain things. So for me, I don't really value the expanded lore as much as some other people. Some people are super into Blue Team, Master Chief's squad that he's with. I don't really value them as much, but that's my own personal opinion. That's my own personal view. As Halo.
How dare
for Halo 5, some people would probably argue for them that was the core of Halo, Chief being back with Blue Team. For me, that's not really what I value Halo as. So I think if you can find comfort in what you view as a Halo game and also understand that some people, they take value in other aspects, you're not convincing them that they're wrong. The way that you want to debate with someone is explaining to them what you value. So it's not about who's right or wrong. It's hoping that they empathize with what you value as what makes Halo Halo. And that also goes double in that you need to, instead of hearing them say, I think Blue Team's the best, Blue Team, but even if they're not wording it right, even if they're saying Blue Team is Halo, Master Chief needs them, like interpret that in your brain as that's what this person values. Mm-hmm. Neither of you are wrong. It's just different people's views on the franchise.
Well, see, and that's the thing. It's like, at the end of the day, people need to realize this is a fictional universe. Mm-hmm. And it's all,
also, guys, it's not real.
Yeah, exactly. It's not real. It's nothing to get upset about. Like, I personally, I loved CE, but I prefer having Sprint in Halo. But, and you know, it's like,
yeah, I can't argue with you because you said you personally prefer having it. I personally don't, but you personally do. So obviously you value other things about Halo than I do.
Yeah. And see, I love it.
That's how you feel.
Exactly. So it's like, that's the thing is that, you know, I mean, at the end of the day, like, this kind of thing happens with everything. You know, people will have these same arguments about the Marvel movies, like,
or Star Wars,
Star Wars, you know, but it's like, it's just back to, like, you know, the basis of just be kind to each other.
Yeah. It's, you know, every argument you're about to get into, frame all of your arguments as you, instead of trying to convince the person that they're wrong, try to explain to them why you feel the way that you do. It's not you winning them over. It's hoping that they empathize and see why you personally feel the way you do, while also retaining their own opinion.
I love that. I think we've all nailed it for the community, and I think there's a valuable
We fixed Halo.
It's a valuable time to be able to communicate that to the community.
Achievement unlocked.
Yeah, achievement unlocked, fixed Halo.
Especially now with Infinite, I hope that instead of the community dispersing and separating, that we connect and unite. And that really is whole mindset and drive to Halo Respawn, is bringing everybody together as well. And that's just one of the things I love and potentially.
I hope Halo Infinite, not copying Destiny, but I hope it's able to look towards Destiny a bit, in that Destiny is kind of this weird, interesting game that tries to cater to most of its audience. It's got your PvP for people who enjoy that, although PvP is in a bit of a weird spot. It's got its kind of like story stuff, light story stuff, but then it's also kind of got its heavy lore for the community that likes it. And it's kind of this weird game that's able to mostly satisfy everyone, even if there are some areas where it could improve. So I'm with Halo Infinite, if the rumors are true that it's like an open world Halo game, I'm more excited about that prospect than I am anxious about that, because a bigger world means more areas where players can kind of create their own personal stories.
Yes, I wholeheartedly agree.
Yeah, and the idea, I mean, if, like, when the name was originally announced, the idea of Halo Infinite, like, you know, Microsoft as a whole is kind of going to this games as a service type thing.
Oh my god, if Scarlet is called the Xbox Infinite, we're done. We know why Halo Infinite was called that.
Yes, I hope it is, and I hear that a lot. I'm hearing that being, like, passed around, and people predicting and saying that that might be where Microsoft takes Xbox.
Xbox is in that weird situation where a lot of people are still kind of in that console fanboy mindset where they're like, eh, why are they coming to PC? Why are they, like, releasing Halo Infinite on both Xbox One and the Scarlet? It's like, because it's Xbox. It's moving past a plastic box that, like, Sony is still in this weird archaic mindset of you need to buy a physical box and that's the only place to play our games.
Yeah,
like, Microsoft is expanding to, you can play your Xbox on the Switch, you can play it on the PlayStation, like, whatever, hopefully the PlayStation someday, you know. But it's like, who cares about what the plastic box is? Like, the community can go with you.
And see, and that's the thing I'm hoping, like, with Infinite, like Halo Infinite, that we have, you know, it expands, like, you know, we get more kind of like Destiny.
I hope that's what that Infinite title means. The fact that it's releasing on both next gen and current gen, that it's going to be like an infinite Halo experience that you can take with you wherever you want. PC, Xbox One, Scarlet, like, it's there. Halo's there with you.
And then the idea of it expanding over time, kind of like something like Destiny, like you were saying, where it's like, especially,
less of like a release a game now, 3 years later, the previous game has been invalidated because a new video game is out.
Yeah. And see, that's the thing, like, with Destiny, you know, Destiny is totally different than it was, you know, when it was released originally. Like,
With like the Activision mindset of, like, we got to have these DLCs out, then we got to have a sequel, then we got to, like, Bungie seems to be slowing down. They recently delayed Shadowkeep, which is like, oh, that's cool. That's the first time a Destiny thing's been delayed.
I think it's good to hear that these things are taking that route, and that gives us potential for the games to be able to be made in the right time, in the right pace, not rushed, so we can get what they actually have in mind and prepared for us versus something that a corporation is trying to rush out to make some money. And I know Xbox and Microsoft are working on making Halo just right. I mean, look at the budget, look at all the potential they have with Game Pass Ultimate and adding that exclusives in there for the fans to be able to play right away. And then there's the potential of xCloud, you being able to stream your games on your phone, tablet, PC, anywhere, and not have to be in front of a TV on your Xbox, but be able to take your games everywhere you go. And that would be great to be able to kind of bring that infinite possibilities of being able to play anywhere and really
as long as you give it to me on my Switch. If I can get xCloud on my Switch, I will be in heaven.
I want X the Master Chief Collection on my Switch. I want to be able to play it on the go.
Exactly. There's been a couple of those memes put out. I saw Duquesne and Green Skull putting those pictures out of like screenshots of Halo 3 being played on the Switch, but it was just like a picture they put. Got a lot of people freaking out.
I was going to say, I don't quite, I mean, maybe I do get the mindset because I used to be an Xbox console fanboy, but then I kind of grew out of that where it's, I'm a Halo fan. I'm not an Xbox fan. So when I see people who are angry, genuinely angry that Halo Infinite is coming to PC or the Master Chief Collection, it's like, are you actually a Halo fan? Or are you an Xbox fan? Because a Halo fan would get energized and excited about the prospect of more people being able to play Halo.
Well, see, I've been an Xbox fan my whole life, but the fact that more people I could play with more people who are getting on a PC.
Gears 5 is coming to Steam. I'm so excited.
Yes. Yes. It's incredible. Yeah.
And it kind of shows you Microsoft as a whole.
Yeah, that Xbox community, they're coming to Steam.
Yeah, you know? Like it's
not
it's
about
awesome.
Console anymore. Yeah. It's about a community.
Exactly. Yeah. And I feel like that's kind of going in a different topic here, but I feel like Phil Spencer has turned around the Xbox division in general, like where it's totally different than what it was, you know, before he was in charge. And the fact that he cares about gaming, he cares about gamers, and
which is why the Xbox community is starting to do a lot better than the PlayStation community. Microsoft, they seem to be doing better financially than Sony's gaming division is, and I think it's because Phil Spencer is starting to future-proof the Xbox, where it's you know, PlayStation, they're trapped to a single piece of hardware, or I guess two pieces of hardware, the PlayStation and PlayStation Pro. With Xbox now, you can carry your Xbox quote to whatever platform you want. Sony's stuck in this very archaic mindset, and it's going to be interesting to see how they're able to catch up to what Microsoft is doing.
They have some connections with the cloud, Azure cloud, you know, and you hear some connections with Microsoft and PlayStation there, and Sony at least there, and them trying to make some connections. I feel like Phil and his team have been really emphasizing on trying to bring together the gaming community versus just trying to adapt and have people, you know, come over to the Xbox side of things. And I am proud to be an Xbox fan because it's no longer becoming this way of it's our way or the highway, but it's actually inclusive and open to being able to say, hey, let's just game together. It's about the games. It's about the experience. Can we just hang out? And you look at games
and
like Fortnite.
I am proud to say that I don't need to play my Xbox anymore. All of those games I will be playing on my PC regardless of the console.
I just think it's cool because, like, for example, you can go ahead and play on your PC. You know, some of us might not be able to afford a PC.
My buddy and I were playing Gears of War 4 Horde mode the other day. I was playing for my PC. He was playing on the Xbox.
That is what I'm talking about. That's cool. Connectivity. That's really it's awesome. Cool. It's awesome. It's awesome. And I love
and I can't
see
wait to do that with Infinite.
Yeah, it's going to happen. It's going
I want to play Infinite on my Switch with someone on the PC through
Xbox. Oh my god, Halo Infinite on the Switch. Jeez Louise.
Yeah, right. Running at 720.
Yeah, running at
It would be through XCloud. It would be through XCloud, so it would look better than if it was running on the Switch itself.
That's true.
But anyways, now that we're we're going on a different topic here, let's get back into the Halo or the Discover Hope Easter egg.
Oh, that's right. We're talking about Discover. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Go ahead.
During the trailer in Discover Hope, when Chief goes and puts in, gets plugged in, you kind of see his screen and his monitor go through. You're able to see the HUD transfer through with a couple of things. A fan was able to find a QR code, not an AR code like Sal has mentioned before, but a QR code.
Assault rifle code.
There was a series of things found. There was a code for, if I'm not mistaken, a download code for Master Chief Collection that was in there. There was a series of things found in there. I believe someone found that the Didact was somewhere written inside of there. What? And then, yeah, go look that up. There's someone.
Okay,
saw
this
the
is
Didact.
News to me.
That's news to you. Look at that. So if you go look it up on Twitter, some people have it. They have it screenshotted where the Didact is worded somewhere in the screen. And then what we're able to see is that a fan was able to get and find a QR code within there, which took him to a website and led him to an audio clip. And I'm going to go ahead and place the audio clip right now.
This is part of me. I don't know why. I don't know how, but it is me.
So we also were able to get a couple of opinions from the Halo Respawn community. Some of them vary from different locations, so bear with us with the audio quality, but why don't we go ahead, listen to what they have to think about this audio clip.
To be honest, I'm not exactly sure how to take this clip. Could be a lot of things. Could be a new fragment of Cortana, meant to combat the Halo 5 version of Cortana. Could be younger Halsey. Could be Cortana talking in the domain just to herself. There's a lot of room for interpretation with this clip, but honestly, whichever way you take it, it's Cortana, and it'll be revealed to us at some point in the future.
What that sounds like to me is a brand new Cortana model, similar to what Cortana said in Halo 4. In regards to they might replace her with a brand new model entirely once Halsey gets a hold of John again. And at the end of Halo 5, we saw that happen. So I'm thinking this might be a brand new Cortana model to take on the new Cortana akin to like Mendicant Bias. So that's what I think.
Wow, listen to that voice acting. Halo Combat Evolved Cortana vibes right there. It's really cool to hear like a what sounds like a new or kind of a clueless Cortana. It's going to be really exciting to see where this goes.
Yeah, so I'm pretty interested in what they're doing with like this Cortana who just has no idea what's going on. I don't know if they're just reviving her, rebooting her, or just like reintroducing her to the story somehow, which is a big thing that Halo 5 was missing. So it seems like they're really doing what the fans actually want, bringing back essential characters. So, damn, that just has me even more hyped for Infinite. But hope it goes well.
Goddamn, it has me conflicted. Does it have a good Cortana? Does it have a bad Cortana? I have no clue. I don't know if now like a fragment of Cortana was left somewhere where now that like made its own way. I don't know, dude. It's weird and it got me conflicted. Boom.
So I don't know. It sounds like there's two Cortanas maybe. At the end of Halo 5, she kind of turned evil. So kind of hoping that there's a good version of her because I was kind of sad when she was evil at the end. So we'll see. I hope it turns out good for her. Yeah.
I mean, I just, you know, I want to go in blind. I mean, it's cool that, you know, we have this clip found out of Cortana because, you know, we want to know a little bit more of, like, what's going on with her. We know she, you know, she's corrupting, you know, she's not the same anymore. And that Chief, you know, he's going to get supposedly a new replacement. And, you know, I want to see how this goes into in, you know, Halo Infinite.
To me, it basically sounds like maybe this is her first time finding out that she's maybe dead and finding out that she's, like, Cortana. Kind of like AI in a way, but she knows who she is. Like it's weird. I don't know. Like she knows who she is, but she's like Cortana now. Like she's probably like a virtual reality, something like that. I don't know.
So to me, it sounds like this is going to be part of the story. just from her view and with the more recent development of the Forerunners, it sounds like maybe Dr. Halsey somehow tapped into the Forerunner technology and incorporated it into the Cortana system. So it sounds like the story is going to take more into the Forerunner realm than before.
So when I was hearing the footsteps, it's not boots. It's more on heels. So I'm thinking that Cortana is there, and for Chief to pick it up with his sensors, that means he's with Cortana. So at some point, he's with her.
If it is supposed to be synced with the last part of the trailer, it sounds like the footsteps are building up, like it's the reaction from the fragment of the Cortana that's at the end there, not the Cortana that's in Chief's head, like the reaction of maybe recognizing her. It feels more like that, like she's kind of confused, like there's another one of me or something like that. That's what I kind of think.
Holy shit, what does this mean for the future of Halo? Is this a separate Cortana remnant, like at the end of Halo 4? Is going to be a completely separate one from Halo 5? Is Halsey going to create a new Cortana and that's who this is? Or is 343 just lost their minds and made Jen Taylor canon inside of Halo? I don't know, but it's looking great.
Initially, when I listened to the recording, I thought that there was going to be two Cortanas, which I think that most of the Halo population believes that there is going to be two Cortanas. I am more under the impression, though, after thinking about it and listening to the clip multiple times, that potentially Cortana is becoming more self-aware, and we're going to see a more humanistic character out of her instead of just a plain AI, and she's going to become more self-aware, which is going to give her a lot more power in the next game and moving forward within the series.
Holy cow, I cannot believe after so long, after E3, we're finding super secrets inside the video, and oh my gosh, it sounded so Halo. How many Cortanas are there? Who knows? But oh my goodness, I am so excited.
There you have it. There is a audio clip put in that trailer that a Halo fan was able to find, and it sounds like Cortana is there. And we are not sure if this is Cortana from Halo 5, a brand new Cortana. So we're going to dive right into it. So really quick, Eric, what do you think about that audio clip? What is your speculation there?
I'd say I think it's another Cortana. I mean, that's as simple as that. That's what I feel like it is. But, that's I think it's it, as far as the way it's lined up with the trailer and, you know, with the footsteps, I feel like it could be, just another Cortana. Cortana is experiencing the new Cortana is experiencing the old Cortana. And she's, you know, as she's saying, yeah, this is me, you know, and so I feel like I just feel like it's a new Cortana. Like,
I want to try to understand what you're saying. So are you saying that she, like, reborn and it's like a new version of the same Cortana, or is it a
You think about, like, with Halo 4 where it says you know they'll replace you maybe with another Cortana model or whatever,
yeah,
and I just feel like that's what it is. That's awesome. Is how I took it, you know, that because especially in the inflection of the voice and everything, the differences in the voice, like she's a lot more, like, the voice is, Taylor's a lot softer with her voice with that version of Cortana, but I don't have much of an opinion other than that.
Yeah, I think that if you listen carefully, it sounds more like an unexperienced Cortana versus a much more experienced Cortana from Halo 4 and 5 and everything that's really gone on through Halo CE to Halo 5. That's what I take out of it, is that it's an unexperienced Cortana. She's seeing things for the first time. So my speculation and idea is that it is a new Cortana model, aided and equipped for Chief to be able to take on whatever new threat, whether that's Cortana or Atriox or anybody that he might have to come up against. That's what my speculation is. Late Night, what about you?
I definitely 100% do think that it's a new Cortana model. The reason is because before we were recording, one of you suggested I take voice acting lessons. I can tell you, I'm not a voice actor, but the new Cortana in that little, like, audio clip, that was definitely Jen Taylor doing a new voice. Mm-hmm. I don't need to be a voice actor to tell you that she's doing something different with her voice in that little clip that we heard. It sounds a lot younger to me. Yeah, it sounds a bit younger to me. Mm-hmm. It seems, you know, a bit inexperienced. But yeah, that's basically, it's still like, I can't say, we don't know enough. I do think that it's a new Cortana model. The theories have been around for a little while now. I mean, people went kind of crazy last year when Chief put the AI chip into his helmet. And they were like, it's a new Cortana model. Blah, blah. And it was like, we don't have enough information. I can't say that yet. And then now hearing Jen Taylor clearly trying to sound like a younger person, I'm like, okay, you know what? Maybe you guys were onto something.
There's a lot of people with some wild speculation and within the Halo Respawn community specifically. I'm excited. It's something that whether people want to know.
Oh, yeah. It's a good exciting. I don't know what's going on. I'm excited.
Exactly. And I think the
it's more than I can say for the end of Halo 5 where I felt defeated. Not in like a narrative way, in like a fan way. I'm like, I don't like this. I don't like that this is what Halo is.
Yeah, and I think this is one of the trailers that have gotten fans coming together, speculating, communicating, talking, breaking down.
We're excited again, and we weren't excited previously. We were angry.
We were angry. Whether it was the Halo 4 trailer, we were confused. Whether it was the Halo 5 trailer.
I'd say the Halo 5 ending was actual anger, unified collective anger, where we didn't like Halo and we hated that this is what Halo was.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it's a really big upgrade versus the Halo Master Chief Poncho trailer.
It's going to be
definitely a step up from Poncho Chief.
Poncho Chief was pretty cool. What I mean is the end of Halo 5, we're like, oh my God, that's where we're going? A dumb robot overlord takeover? That's what Halo is now? This has me excited. It's like they're reframing the dumb robot overlord takeover in a more interesting way.
Yeah, and it also leads to an opportunity for Halo fans who've been gone for a while to be able to come back. And also, you know, 343 has used this term, a spiritual reboot. When it comes into a spiritual reboot, what would be better than having a new Cortana? So for those of us who knew what happened to Cortana in Halo 5 and a new one is introduced, then okay. We're kind of a little bit at ease now. This is something we're used to. Or maybe there's some fans.
Into that offensive bias theory, where the idea was back during when the Forerunners fell, you know, the ancient aliens that created the Halo rings, their AI that they created, they called it Mendicant Bias.
Which was in the terminals in Halo 3.
Yeah, it was in the terminals. And Mendicant Bias, this artificial intelligence program, it was designed to kind of protect the Forerunners from external threat, being the Flood. And the Flood, the Gravemind, grew so intelligent that it was able to, within 40 years of conversing with this Mendicant Bias program, convince it that the Forerunners were wrong, the Flood were superior. And so this Mendicant Bias AI defense system turned on the Forerunners and deactivated all their security and allowed the Flood kind of in to Forerunner space. And that's kind of what had the Forerunners kind of escalate their time scale and get it's like, it's too late. We have to do the Halo rings. What the Forerunners did in the meantime to buy them some time was create something called offensive bias. And offensive bias was an artificial intelligence system designed deliberately to combat Mendicant Bias. It was like an evil doppelganger. And so there's a lot of theories going around the community of Cortana's evil. She's a robot overlord, you know, and she has space owls and she's trying to kill us. What if the UNSC creates their own version of offensive bias to combat the rogue artificial intelligence? It's like the galaxy repeating itself. And so if that voice we heard, it's a new Cortana model designed to combat the crazy AI robot over Cortana.
I love that concept. That's like hearing that, just immediately you have so much potential within the story. You have,
and it's a way more interesting way to reframe the bland overlord takeover. It's more interesting now. Instead of just AIs want to revolt, meh, here's our space owls.
Exactly. And even with when you're going to reboot something or you're going to have a spiritual reboot, it's good to have kind of, you know, some sort of things that tie you in from the history, from the genesis of a franchise, and you being able to be reminded of those things.
That was in Halo 5. That was a planet name.
Oh, was it?
Was it? Yeah, that was that. That was that like awful looking Forerunner world.
Oh, that place that I did not like going to.
Yeah, man, but Genesis. I feel so bad about that planet because you could tell that they were trying to go for a Dagobah type planet. You know, like a swampy look, but it looked like mm-hmm. they had to cut too many graphical features. Like, here's volumetric fog. We got to cut that. We got to tune down some of these different effects. Maybe rain particles and stuff. And now we're just left with this booger world, which looks like. Just awful.
That's the best kind of world.
Booger world.
Burger. Booger world.
Yep, that.
Well, either way, we're excited for Halo Infinite. We're excited for the future of Halo.
I'm re-energized in a way I didn't think Halo could re-energize me.
Exactly. I think we're all in that same exact place. We're excited. We're thrilled. We're looking forward to a Halo game. And there's definitely a lot of people who have given up on Halo. They seem to be excited as well, and it's exciting. It's an exciting time. It's like, but it's bringing people back.
Who is so basically, sorry not to cut you off,
of course. No, don't worry.
There was somebody who is at Outpost Discovery Chicago, and he basically said that he dropped off of the franchise with Halo 5. He was kind of like, Halo 4 didn't really catch me. Halo 5 I thought was so bad that I like divorced the franchise.
Wow.
And Halo Infinite's trailers. He was like, Halo Infinite 2018. I was like, okay, that looks like a Halo game. Mm-hmm. And then with Halo Infinite, he was like, okay, it looks like a Halo game. And that's when he lives in Chicago and he brought his son and stuff. He was wearing Halo 2 shirts from the launch of that game. And he brought his son with him. His son had a little Master Chief helmet on.
That's beautiful.
That's awesome.
That's
beautiful. Yeah.
We're excited for Infinite. We're excited for Halo. The community seems to be excited as well. We're moving forward. We're energized, like Late Night just said. And it's just a great time to be a Halo fan. It's a great time to move forward. So we're going to have to wrap things up here. We've had a great time with Late Night Gaming. We've had a great time with South. And it's been such a pleasure. We really look forward to the future of Halo. And we definitely have to do this again sometime. This has been an absolute pleasure and absolute blast. Thank you so much for joining us, for sharing some things about your history and how you got involved with Halo and your experience at Chicago and overall just a good conversation. Thank you so much.
Yeah, and I will say, I will go ahead and add, how can people find you on the internet?
You guys will find me. I don't need to say where. You know where.
So what you're saying is you're like Batman. You're our guardian. We need you. You'll be there.
Well, no, because like, really quiet. I'm more like, it's like, you know, that scene in Iron Man where he's like drunkenly dancing in Iron Man 2, where he's like in the Iron Man suit and he's like drunk and he's on top of the donut.
And he pees in his suit. Yeah.
Yeah. And
oh,
he pees,
before that. Like, before. Yeah.
That's
yeah.
me. I'm drunk on top of a Dunkin' Donuts peeing in my suit.
We'll find you.
We'll find you on top of a donut. So if you guys heard it here first, if you need to find Late Night Gaming, you'll find him on top of a donut drunk.
Yep, exactly. Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying. That's where you'll find me.
Okay, listeners, so thank you so much for listening on this great journey. It's been such an awesome time. We want to thank Late Night Gaming for spending some time with us and really getting into so many things about Halo, and just what an awesome episode. So for those of you listening, we want to make sure that you subscribe to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Anchor, or any of your podcast directories of choice. Be sure to just look up Halo Respawn Podcast, and you'll find us there. Make sure to subscribe, and if you really enjoyed what you heard, be sure to give us a review and some stars as well. Hey, Eric, why don't you let the rest of the listeners know how they can connect?
Yeah, you can connect with us on Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube at Halo Respawn, and everything else you can find on HaloRespawn.com.
So thank you for listening. We hope to see you in episode 3. We have some awesome topics to cover. And don't forget, finish the fight.